It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 125 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with...
Julian, just plain Robichaud, I guess.
Not Mechanical Robichaud?
No. The Mechanical Robichaud is not in the building.
Oh, I was expecting Mechanical today, but you just let me down.
Oh.
So Julian, on the line today, we have two folks who helped put together, or who did put together, the Irish Lotus User Group, which was just held in Belfast this past week. So on the podcast, we're going to welcome Paul Mooney.
Hello there.
And Eileen Fitzgerald.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Julian, how you been, by the way?
Me? I've been great. I just came back from Belfast. What could be better?
Well, why don't you tell everyone what made it so much better in Belfast?
What was so much better in Belfast? Well, what was so good about Belfast is they just had... Is this the third ILUG? The fifth. Okay, because I know you kind of went to the every other year thing now and stuff like that. The fifth. And you know, really, ILUG, it was the first big Lotus user group as a conference kind of meeting here in the Notes community. And Paul, was that kind of your brainchild, or how would you like to credit that?
If I had to be honest, I would say at the time, 6 years ago, it was almost deemed as a necessity to keep the product alive when there was all you heard was a lot of people saying how there was nothing going on in the Lotus world unless you could get credit to go to Lotusphere. So we would hear customers and business partners all saying, you know, there's nothing to... And that's where it came from. We said, right, well, you know, we have to do this. And then it's come to the point now, 6 years later, where there's a lug every week, which is fantastic. When we were planning this and scheduling it months ago, we were looking in diaries trying to find a week where there wasn't an event on that we wouldn't be, you know, clashing for sponsors. And it's turned into something much larger, thanks to all the organizers in all the different countries.
Well, and it's kind of a big reimagining of user groups, too, because the traditional user group had kind of all but died when you started doing this. I mean, I remember, I don't know, 15 years ago, how there were user groups, you know, kind of all over the place. And little by little, they just really started thinning out and weren't meeting. And, you know, it used to be this monthly meeting of people, and then nobody came. And so to kind of take that and turn that into, oh, my gosh, this is some big annual once-a-year event, you know, that was actually fairly significant, and with sponsors too. So, you know, with sponsors, do you know, is it easier or harder now to find the sponsors?
Oh, definitely harder. Harder than year one. It was, we only had one sponsor. Year two, I think we had about six. Year three, it went up, and year four, it went up again. But now it's, if you use the term competition, there's so many events and there's a finite number of sponsors that deal with these events. And obviously they have a budget and they have to split themselves across the events that they think they will get business, which is perfectly acceptable. And you know, they have been fantastic for us for all these years. But I often thought, even if you look at the Apple world, the monthly meetings, just the world sped up a little bit since those days. I just don't think people have the one night a month time frame anymore. It's almost easier to block book 2 days out of your life or 3 days out of your life 6 months from now than to say every second Tuesday of the month I'll meet in a certain place and eat pizza. That being said, there's still a few to do that and they're fantastic, but this model seemed to work a little bit better for our region and it seems to have spread quite a great deal, which is just brilliant to see.
Actually, Paul, I got some feedback from some sponsors who were saying the format works, especially over the 3 days, because people take time. They'll call around, they'll see what you're at, and then they'll come back and spend time with you over the 3 days. So that was just some feedback that we got from the sponsors, in that this format is great from actually spending time with somebody versus, let's say, one night a month saying, well, here's what we're doing. And also from people's perspective, they actually can take the time to learn a bit of technology and also see what products are out there to support them.
Mm-hmm. One thing, Paul and Eileen and Julian, that's really unique is, granted, we used to have, you know, user groups, you know, the second Tuesday of every month at, you know, at this conference room in this building. But the thing that carries on from those user groups is the fact that the Irish Lotus user group is free to all delegates, correct?
Yep, absolutely. It's free to everyone,
yep.
Except for sponsors. It's free for all to attend.
Right, and they get sessions. They get you had a lab this year. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Eileen. Do you want to talk about the labs?
Sure. We actually had a couple of firsts. I mean, we've Tim Clark from the UK has been organizing the labs for iLug and UKLug for the past few years, where the IBM labs will demo the products and sit down with people and go through a very detailed demo, and allow people to play with the products. But this year with iLog, we had two firsts, where we had Karen Brint came over with the beta labs. So you basically had brand new products straight out of beta that had never been seen before, per se. And we also had members of the development team from IBM Ireland. So we had a meet the developers at iLog, kind of a bit like Lotusphere, where the delegates got the opportunity to sit down and actually have conversations with the developers who are coding the products. So it was very exciting because we had the two firsts, but as per usual, the lab sessions and the feedback from both the delegates and also the developers and the lab technicians, I think was very, very positive. What do you think, Paul?
I think so, definitely. Especially from day two onwards, people got more visibility with the labs and started to feel like they could go and approach them. And the thing we were driving home every day is, like, you have the guys that write the product in the room next door to you. So don't feel like you can't ask them a question. Yeah. You know, and they're so approachable. I don't know any other technology where the guys that actually write the code are there saying, here, come talk to us. What do you want in the next feature? Or what's a good use case? Or what don't you like about X Pages? Or what way do you see Traveler working? What's missing with it? And the guys that actually code the stuff were sitting there waiting to be talked. Mm-hmm. It was just fantastic.
Right, because the X Pages development lab is based in, is it Dublin, Paul?
Yeah, it is.
It's
based in, where? West Dublin, near where I used to live. So it's, and those guys were more than happy to travel up to Belfast. They had people there every day from different sets of teams. Mm-hmm. And they were just more than approachable. They couldn't have done any more.
Yep.
Got really into it, got involved in the Speed Geeking, Speed Sponsoring, everything.
So you had you had the product showcase, you had the labs, and obviously the main thing are the sessions, right?
Totally.
You had how many sessions given by how many speakers?
We had three tracks. We had admin, development, and management sessions. About 40-odd sessions in total, 40, 45-odd sessions in total, with over 50 speakers. It really was fantastic. And that was, unfortunately, we're actually in a position where we had to reject some really good sessions because the quality of people offering to come and speak at iLog was just fantastic. And also across all of the various technologies, very, very technical, very, very development-oriented sessions as well. And also then some management sessions. And we even had a Nerd Girl session in iLog this year. So an awful lot of variety. And a lot of the speakers as well are also, or have been, Lotusphere speakers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we just got a ping here. We're just going to bring in a special guest, if that's okay with you all. Okay with you,
absolutely.
Julian?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get off mute, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Hold on. It's ringing. Hello, mystery guest. Who are you?
I am the fake Ed Brill.
You are the fake Ed Brill. Wow.
And I sound vaguely like Agent Smith.
So, fake Ed Brill, were you at the Irish Lotus User Group this year?
I was there in deep cover, heavily disguised as an Irishman.
How does an Irishman
a drunk
look?
Irishman.
Very heavily disguised.
Yeah.
Very heavily disguised, yes, especially around the middle.
Oh, boy. So, Fake Ed, who are you really?
I am Domino, yes, maybe. Otherwise known as the husband of Slightly Doolally.
Which is?
Stephen McDonough.
Steve, welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. This is your first time on the show.
It is, and indeed it is my first podcast. I am a podcast virgin.
Not anymore.
Well, not anymore, no.
Up Steve's cherry.
Yeah. So, Steve, we brought you on the show here because we're obviously talking about iLug, and you were one of the fine folks who worked with Eileen and Paul to put iLug together. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Coetzee and I were the relationship management team.
Relationship management team. So you're the bouncers?
Basically, yes.
Hmm. So what exactly was your role for the conference?
I was chief clipboard designer. And for Eileen, this is. And general dog's body. I was the Coetzee and I were the lowest of the low, as far as it was that was concerned. So,
It was there any significance people of your lowerness on your dress attire by any chance? I mean, how did people identify you as you and Coetzee as being the lowest on the low of the low?
Well, I have my Movember mustache.
Yeah, Movember mustache.
My Movember mustache, which at the minute I am told by my colleagues at work, I look like Hulk Hogan. But I've no idea who Hulk Hogan is, but maybe it was a mixture of the green shirt and the mustache. But if I had been important, I would not have been able to charge around the bar late at night wearing Mary Beth's cloak.
Okay, and there's a picture of that, I believe, on Paul's blog. Is that correct?
Well, that was me in the starting position. Yes, nobody actually caught me doing my swoop, as it's now come to be known.
Mm-hmm. So just to rewind a bit here, when do you guys start planning iLug?
Started planning this one probably in March, February, March this year.
Yeah, if not sooner.
Straight after Lotus Fear, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are the kinds of things that, obviously, you know, to us as attendees, it looks, everything just happens. You know, meals happen, sessions happen, speakers arrive, the product showcase is there, you know, all that kind of stuff. Tell us really how you plan. What tools you use? Do you have Skype chats? Do you have meetings? How does it all come together?
We have a 4 or 5 year running Skype chat.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, Ian.
Sorry, the Skype chat actually has it been going on for 4 years now?
5, I think.
Yeah, there's a persistent Skype chat that has been going on for years and years and years. We're all going to actually publish it one day make our fortunes and retire.
We are?
Sorry, I am. Sorry, I've already got the book deal on it, Steve. Sorry. I suppose the first thing for this year was the location. Sitting down and looking at locations. I scouted a few locations in Dublin. Paul did an awful lot of work scouting the location. But there was a previous event had been held there. So
I had to do a warm-up test on the venue to make sure it was suitable for iLug.
Yeah, so, it was very kind of you to commit to that, yeah.
Yeah, that was smart. Yeah, that was smart, Paul.
It was. You know, you got to check for everything. So I decided, look, I'll just get married there, and then I'll know if the venue will just be good enough for iLug.
Right, and if not, then you would have had to get married again, which would have been awkward.
Yeah, Lynn wasn't too keen on that part, but luckily enough, it worked out well. You know,
who stayed in your honeymoon room?
Coetzee and McDonough, actually, Steve McDonough. They were the happy couple.
Oh boy!
So it was Coetzee and Buchan. I had a room to myself.
Oh, you didn't know? Yes. Well, either way, the honeymoon suite would have suited them. I think it would have been perfect. But picking the venues is like there's so many jobs. UK Lug, B Lug, they all have the same thing. And in fairness, we're a bit more organized now than we used to be. And we just split it into lots of tasks. And there's the sign of a good event is an event that it looks like it's really smooth. But we had things like Eileen arranging liability insurance to us and Warren arranging, like ordering bags, getting the website done by Matt, the agenda designed by Steve McDonough, then Gab Davis, Warren and Eileen looking after session selection, Kitty getting the logistics ready, Warren getting the AV ready, then chasing
all the data for the sponsors. That Paul, you were coordinating all of the sponsors, which is a huge amount of there was an awful lot of communications associated with that, sending out the information, receiving the information, chasing confirmation, etc., etc. I'd say once we had the venue sorted and we had the dates finalized, then you had a huge amount of work involved in communicating and coordinating with the sponsors.
Yeah, and because it's a free event for delegates, I think, from my side, the focus is the sponsors. If the sponsors are happy, I'm happy. Yep. The delegates get, like, at all of these events, the delegates get free education, free brilliant knowledge sitting at their doorstep, free lunch, usually free bars, which in this case were supplied by GSX, Blue Wave, and Hatzel. Bus tours and all these great things that we have to arrange, and the sponsors pay for all of that. So the job, from when we go heavy in on the guilt factor at iLug, when people go in and sit down for the opening session, we go to great lengths to tell them you owe the sponsors your time, and it's the least you can do, and things like logistical planning, we plan to how to maximize sponsorship exposure without making it too offensive, and how to make it fun, how to make people want to listen to pitches, and then how to maximize like IBM skill set there as well. And for all the joking aside, the amount of work that goes into all of this by all the people on the iLog team is insane. It really is. Like we must be nuts. There's no sane reason to do it, but we all for some reason keep coming back.
Well, after all these years of doing it, has it gotten easier or is it actually more complicated because you do so many more things now?
I could talk from a logistics perspective. It's gotten more structured because when we started off doing this, we had to create the website. I mean, we started this from scratch. There was no website. Now we've got a template that we're refining as we go along, which is critical to it's used in the UK log. And it's used the actual template that we initially did for iLog, was it 4 years, 5 years ago now at this stage? One that's been reused for a few international logs. That makes life a hell of a lot easier. And the team is very, very strong. And everybody just gets into it and knows what they're going to do, and everybody has their roles. I actually felt very redundant this year at my clipboard on my checklist, because everybody was just doing their job and hardly anybody needed to be reminded. It was awful. But it really just gelled and flowed from that perspective. But there's still amount of huge work to be done up front in terms of the sponsor coordination, the communications, delegate coordination, communications, et cetera, So that's, the logistics have gotten a bit easier from that, from my perspective, because I've always been the clipboard queen in the background with the logistics. But Paul, from the rest?
This was the smoothest. We kind of grew and grew and made it up as we went along in the first few years. And this, to me anyway, was the smoothest. We had our hiccups. We always have at least five emergencies, but like that's par for the course with running the event.
Yeah.
I think as free events go, it was as professional as we could possibly do it while still keeping it fun.
I think that's the key element there, is that, and several people have mentioned it on their blogs, that you cannot become an expert at an iLog. You've got an hour to listen to somebody talking about X pages, but basically what happens is it lights your blue touch paper. And off you go back to your office, feeling empowered by the event and the fact that you've met other members of the community, both great and small. And it just gives you a buzz. And even from the organizing point of view, it's great fun. You know, even if it comes down to playing the Tigger song during a meeting.
Sorry,
that's just torturing me is great fun.
Yeah, torturing you is great fun. It's because you're so scary.
Yes, in the nicest possible way, of course.
In the nicest possible way.
Hard. Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say another point is the amount of bodies that turn up the day before I look to just help. People fly over a day early and just go, right, you know, I'm here, help. You know, what can I do? Can I pack bags? So that when it comes to the event logistics, so we're getting in the door and Rob Novak turns up, Jamie McGee turns up, Theo turns up, Sean Cole turns up, and all these people just started like appearing out of cracks and walls going, well, I flew over a day early. I could go on a bus tour of Belfast. I could go up to Giant's Causeway, or I could sit my ass in a room and pack bags, and they just all turn up. Actually, Mr. Robichaud, you were there as well, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Me and Rob flew in together. We were roommates.
But like, how many people brought gifts? I just couldn't believe. Like, you know, little gifts for the team and little gifts for everyone. It's almost like it just. And I hate the term community, but it is a community event. If you define community by a gang of friends, it's a friends event where everybody wants to help each other out and everybody wants everyone to do well. And some speakers that maybe aren't ready to present at Lotusphere or scared to speak out, well, you know, we give them an opportunity at events like iLook. And some of them turn into very capable presenters, and they kind of discover that they're very good at the event as well. And we want to encourage that. We want everyone to do really well. And the whole thing is done in good spirits. It's a, there's no really bad competitive with each other downside. Everybody wishes everyone well at the event, and just the amount of people offering to help and then keep us company in the bar later on is just fantastic. There was some robbery from the hotel. If you may have noticed some people gathering duvets off their beds and bringing them on the bus tour. Gab and Tim Davis took the bed sheets off the bed because they knew who Colt it was going to be. And
was it their bed?
I hope so. But you
yeah,
never
I really
know.
Hope so
it could have been yours,
Julian. It was an open top bus tour in the middle of November in the coldest week ever. In Ireland, but everybody seemed to really enjoy it.
They did.
Yeah, Twitter has a complete record of everything that happened on that bus tour.
I haven't looked yet. I don't know if I want to.
Actually, Paul, you made a very good point that's worth reinforcing about using the logs and the support in the logs for people who are trying out presentations. If they feel they are the presentation is not ready for Lotusphere. It's a fantastic, the logs, global logs are a great opportunity to try them out, get comfortable with them, see how they flow, see how they work. I had a presentation we've never done, one with Gab and one with Matt White that we've never ever done before. And it was a great way of doing it, practicing it, and testing them out and see what people think of it. See if they add value for people. So I would strongly advise everybody to actually submit sessions for the logs.
Have you ever had someone give a session that's never given a session before, or that gets done and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm never doing this again?
Oh, me? No, the opposite, actually. No, you're doing it again.
You know what I noticed from, not being there? I think I saw a picture of Kevin Kavanaugh wearing a sweatshirt and blue jeans during the keynote. Was that correct?
Yep,
that's correct. And it was a Jameson t-shirt as well, sweatshirt.
Yeah, I did a double take because it was like, well, Kevin Kavanaugh, IBM executive, presenting in front of, a couple hundred of some of the, loyal people in our community. In jeans and a sweatshirt. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Ed Brill had a conversation with Kevin, and when I saw Kevin that morning, I said, "See, you're not in a suit." And he goes, "Yeah, he was told that this would be the event where you just wouldn't wear a suit," which you wouldn't expect people of that level as an exec, to actually fall into the mold so well, but it. you'd expect him to almost be forced to present in a suit. He was fine with that, you know. He said if Alistair Rene could make it, Alistair Rene would present jeans and a sweatshirt. It's just they understand the informality of the event, which is just is so good.
You know, another thing... I'm sorry, Eileen, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just about to say that with both Ed and Kevin and a lot of the other IBMers there, the accessibility to the delegates, it was very informal, very relaxed and very open to just talking with anybody. They hung around for a couple of days, et cetera, et cetera, and they were just there and available. They didn't just appear to do the session and disappear off again then for conferences. It was really, really good, relaxed, informal, and very, very much appreciated by everybody.
Well, and you guys really made it easy to be accessible, I guess, because, you know, we had the wine and cheese thing. We had the open bar. We have the speed sponsoring and the speed geeking and things like that. So, I mean, people wanted to stay around. And if they're staying around, then they're going to be someone that you can just walk up and talk to. So that was really nice.
Absolutely. And they were all, and everybody stayed around as well, which was great.
So there were two other sessions that I read a lot of awesome things about. One was Warren's session about the Lego community. Can someone tell us about that?
I wasn't in it. I know what the session was about. I think some people got the point and other people didn't. But Steve, are you at it? Arlene?
I was there.
Steve, were you there? Because there's actually an interesting, Julian, if you do that, because it actually inspired another impromptu session that came after that.
Right,
so Mary if Beth. You cover Warren, exactly, Mary Beth. So, Julian, why don't you cover Warren's and then we can just talk about the inspiration that came from that.
Yeah. Well, actually, Warren wrote a blog post a couple months ago about the Lego community. And, you know, obviously he's very much the Lego guy. And he talked about how the Lego community that had been around for a long time and had a very good product that a lot of people really loved, the community and the product itself were actually starting to have some serious problems. And they couldn't figure out why. You know, what do we need to do to fix this problem that people aren't buying our product and that the community is just not coming together and being kind of promoted in the best possible way, because there was a strong Lego community kind of behind the scenes, but Lego the company just didn't had no idea. And you know, Warren wrote this blog entry and then kind of ended up turning it into a session about what Lego did to kind of embrace these people who were these big fans and who were buying their product and who really wanted to help them sell it. And all of the things that Lego did to kind of turn the company around and suddenly become this giant, powerful, you know, very well-known company again. And you know, Eileen, like you said, that kind of prompted what?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Mary Beth was in that session. And while she was in the session, she got a ping from Joyce about, let's have a meeting about community, Joyce Davis. And so she came to us and said, can I have a space to do a session? Because I've got this fantastic community here and the community spirit is here. Let's do a session on community and how IBM can work with the community. So she got a session. Unfortunately, with the timing, she was opposite Rob Novak. But it was still very well attended. And I think there was great feedback. And Joyce Davis came in from via Skype onto the actual session. And I do believe going forward, again, this type of session is going to be more focused again on the lugs and become more of a permanent feature on the lug track. So that was an impromptu session. And we won't go into Steve McDonough's session, which also was very, very well received.
Steve, what was that session about?
That was basically my aim in this extremely serious session that was on after speed sponsoring. No, speed geeking was to make sure that everybody left iLug more ignorant about Ireland than when they walked in. And I achieved, I think, that. And I believe that Coetzee and Paul were walking around with a cattle prod, closing the bar and pushing people into the session. I was expecting it to be poorly attended. However, I seemed to get quite a room full,
and they laughed at the appropriate points and gave me a bit of a clap at the end, which I was very grateful for. Thank you very much.
The title of your session?
The title was The Domino, Yes, Maybe, Reliably Unreliable History of Ireland, Northern Ireland.
Which us down in the South do question about any of it, but...
and being held in Belfast.
I thought it was fascinating. I mean, how it started with how Ireland used to be in the Caribbean and then kind of moved, which I had no idea.
You had no idea. Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that people knew what actually happened. The odd thing is that about 90% of the facts presented were actually true. It was my interpretation of those facts that was possibly a little lax.
Did they lose all their luggage when Ireland moved?
No, but they did go to Lotosphere.
They did go to Lotosphere.
It's the only time
like
the
Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the original inhabitants of Ireland were also mentioned, so that we pimped up Paul quite a bit. The McMooney O'Flaherty's were the original Aboriginal inhabitants of Ireland.
There's some video of this on someone's blog somewhere, I believe.
Miller.
Well, you know,
Chris Miller, right?
Yeah, and Chris, I think, is putting together three different videos to try to make the whole session.
Oh, okay, my God.
So we'll put it in the show notes, or we'll update the show notes when we get them with the video of Steve's session. Again, that I think was very well received and just shows that, you know, you don't need to go to Lotosphere to see sessions that IBM wants you to hear. You can go to these Lotus user groups around the world and hear sessions about Lego, about IBM, and about the history of Ireland. So,
indeed.
Two last things. Paul, I think you mentioned speed sponsoring and speed geeking. These are exactly what?
The objective of this is to, first of all, the speed sponsoring is an idea that obviously it's like speed dating, but it gives every sponsor that goes to one of these events the ability to give an elevator pitch. Like there are people that go to these events that don't go into the sponsor area. You know, same at Lotosphere, people that don't go down to the showcase labs because they could be too shy, or they don't think they'll learn anything, or they don't think they'll see a product that interests them. So the objective here is people go in and they position themselves around all the sponsors, and you have a 5-minute elevator pitch, and we make a lot of noise, and at the end of the 5 minutes, everybody moves to the next sponsor, and they do a 5-minute elevator pitch. It goes on for an hour. There's a free bar. People get a lot of drink. People see a pitch for every product, whether it interests them or not. And sponsors love this because then everybody's seeing what they have. And then typically the next day, one or two people or 10 or 20 people come back. But a few of them always say that if it was not for the speed sponsoring, they wouldn't have known about the product. And it's another way to get everybody talking and moving along together and all engaged. And there was an obscene amount of alcohol being consumed. The team studio bunch handing out shots, I think, to everyone that came to their booth as they moved through with bottles of aftershock. So and it was great fun. Speed geeking's been around for a long time now. The next night, we had all the geeks that volunteered or were volunteered by us will go sit down at any booth and give a pitch or a product demo or a cool feature demo for people to learn something unusual, something cool in, well, what was supposed to be 5 minutes, but we kind of trimmed it back to about 3.5 minutes just to really upset them. Gab Davis had WebSphere in 5 minutes, which I thought was an incredible feat in itself, but we had her doing it in 3 minutes near the end, which was almost like kill the speaker, but it was good fun.
Yeah, that's something I've participated in. I've been a presenter, and I've also consumed the words of wisdom being bestowed upon us by the speed geeking person. And Julian, I remember you doing something about composite apps. I think it was at the first dialogue, or maybe the second one. You were amazing. I'm just saying.
You're just saying that because I'm on the podcast, Bruce. But that one actually, I don't think I've ever spoken so fast for so long. Ever, and I don't think I could speak the next day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julian, I just gave you an oral evaluation, but the people who gave those sessions at iLUG, right, are expecting what, Eileen?
We want to get the evals back.
Right.
The evals are on the iLUG website, www.ilug210.org, and they're open. Give us the evaluations on all of the sessions, on the overall conference sessions, how we can improve it, and what you thought of the sessions, what you'd like to see more of, so that we can use them for future conferences. UKLUG has already been announced, and so give us your feedback. What worked, what didn't, what you liked, what you didn't, and let's try and force Warren to do the completely unreliable history of Edinburgh for UKLUG.
Yeah. So speaking of UKLUG, does someone know the, does someone want to share the dates with us, with everybody?
I have them here.
Okay.
May 4th and 5th, 2011. It's going to be held in the Manchester Museum of Science and History, and the site is up. It will be opening for registration very soon. And I think sponsors are already, any proposed sponsor are already more than welcome to contact UKLUG. Just go on to the site and the details are there. If they want to become part of it, UKLUG works very similar to iLUG. A few more customer case studies typically than iLUG would be a bit more techie orientated, but the event works as well, is equal to, if not more fun than iLUG, and should be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it has people booking, I saw people on Twitter today booking flights for UKLUG.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eileen, you're Cylon-ing, so we're reaching the end of the podcast. I don't know if anyone else can hear Eileen Cylon-ing.
I can.
Yeah. So, Eileen,
it sounds like that, especially after vodka.
Yeah. So, Eileen, not that you have to speak, but thank you very, very, very much for your leadership role in iLUG over the last couple of years, you know, leading the charge with Paul and the rest of the gang. Paul, honestly, I've attended two of the iLUG events and one UKLUG event, and they are stellar, freaking outstanding.
So appreciate it. Thanks
for all the hard work you all do. And Julian, before we allow Mr. McDonough to have some of his famous parting words, we could get our whole podcast audience could turn on us based upon what Steve's going to say. But thanks again, Julian, for episode 125 and our 5-year anniversary.
Aw, thanks, Bruce. And thanks for the flowers.
Yeah. So, Steve, we put you at the end for a reason, because we can easily cut you off if you say, no, only kidding. So, Steve, some words of wisdom. Send us out on episode 125 of the Ticking Notes podcast. Steve.
I'm totally speechless. Is that not enough?
That is incredible.
Well, Steve, you kind of cheaped out here, because I was expecting more, but that's okay.
Well, I was going to swear, but I've been very good so far, and I wouldn't want you to have an explicit on iTunes. So, parting words. The parting words of my session were, "Mon, let's get blutered," which basically in Irish means, X Pages has totally annoyed me today. Let's go and have a pint.
Good one.
This is what takes it to the good.